You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Jay, I have one question for you. Where will you be September 26th?
Well, I'm hoping to be at Arizona Stadium. I don't know if I'll be, you know, get the luck of the draw and be there, but, you know, I'd like to be there.
I'd assume you're cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Those are the words of the day today.
I think everybody is. Good news. We saw the schedules from everyone. 10 big games for Arizona. I already gone through my schedule. We'll go through yours in a little bit. I'm looking forward to that and how Mr. Positive will look at this. But you asked a couple of question of the commissioner today. A lot of good questions. What stuck out for you?
Well, the first thing that stuck out for me was that the Arizona ASU game is the first week of the season, and that was interesting to me. And then when you look down the line, you see that UCLA and USC mm-hmm. are also the first week of the season.
Before you continue that, you're probably thinking like everybody else in town, what?
Yeah.
But?
But there was a really good reason for it. And I think that, you know, the explanation was excellent when, you know, Larry Scott just talked about, you know, Arizona and Southern California being hot spots for COVID.
You know, one of the aspects of the thinking that went into USC and UCLA being early, and in this case, the first week, that went into Arizona and Arizona State being early in this version, the first week, is we realize at the moment, those are real hot spots. And the requisite, you know, authorities and approvals necessary are not there yet. By putting them the first week, in the event that these two teams in each of those two markets playing against each other winds up not being possible, they become very easy to reschedule.
So that's really it. I mean, they're just basically saying these are two areas that are being hard hit right now. So it gives them the opportunity to say, okay, we're getting close to time. We're not ready to play. Let's move those games right now. So, and they put two byes for everybody, one during the season and then one the last week, the week before the Pac-12 championship game.
So I'm sure like you like me said, what a great idea.
Well, you know, here's the thing that really struck me about the entire webinar today was that I realized these guys are pretty smart. They're thinking of stuff that we're not thinking of. And that was one of them. To think, let's get that game played. And if it get it scheduled so that if Arizona and Southern California are still in a really tough spot COVID wise, it's just easy to push those games down the road. Both of those games involve teams that they don't have to go spend the night, you know, the Arizona game is here. Mm-hmm. So the ASU doesn't have to come and spend the night in a hotel here. They can bus in the day of the game. I mean, it's not a big deal. And they can take all the precautions with that. So I thought that was just some really good thinking on their part to see that they're thinking of a lot of stuff that we're not thinking of over here.
Every possibility. We have a phone call right now. Terry, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just heard a friend of mine just called me and said they're going to be playing football, and I was shocked. Give me a little bit of background. I mean, they're going to space people in the stadium. Are they still going to charge the same prices? I mean, what happens to people who have season tickets? These are all sorts of questions. You guys have any more information on it?
Good question. That question was was asked, and they said this.
Right. We had Dave Hickey on, and they're not there yet. They were really just focused on getting a schedule and trying. Now that they have a schedule, you know, we presume we're going to now start hearing, okay, this is, assuming things go well and there is going to be football, this is what's going to happen. What has been announced is that the stadium is not going to be capacity. It's going to be something less, probably 50% or less. But, you know, the plan hasn't been rolled out. We asked that specifically last week, and we were just told that, you know, more to come. We've got to get the schedule nailed down, and they were working on that. Now that we have a schedule, we'll start hearing what else goes with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. I just have like a dynamite question. We're just all hoping that, and it seems like Arizona's turning the corner. please, dear God.
We're hoping. We're all hoping. Yeah.
Well, the good thing is...
What happens, not to be a negative guy, but the dynamite question, what happens if it does, you know, go into another spike? I mean, is it get more disappointment? I don't know if they're being too ambitious. I don't know. I there's so many questions.
Right, there's so many questions, and the question was asked, are there going to be fans? No one knows because we're way too early, and it's going to be depending on the location.
Right, they've got 2 months to figure it out.
Right,
now. 6 weeks. Now that we've got, you know, the games, the first game is scheduled for September 26th. It's just under 2 months to figure out what they're going to do.
Do you have tickets to go?
I quit, not to be politically incorrect. I quit at this season. I just couldn't take it.
Right. Well,
You and
a lot of others. I think they're probably going to allow 10,000 if they do. And Jay is optimistic he'll be one of those.
I just want to be one of the 10. I'd like to go to the first game at least, and just because I want to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be negative. I hope things do. You know, I hope we can all turn this around, dear God, and get back to normal.
Well,
please.
Well, cross your fingers and wear your mask, and everybody does their part. Maybe we can have some. Maybe we can have some sports here.
You got it. And thanks, guys, for being what you're doing. I really mean that.
Thanks for calling.
Patronizing. Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. So it was a good. I thought it was a good informative webinar.
Well, there was a lot of a lot of stuff that really told me that these guys know what they're doing. You know, there was a doctor, Aukerman, Doug Aukerman, who's I guess the medical advisor for the Pac-12, was on the webinar. And one of the other things that really caught me about the what they were saying was that even now they don't have a criteria for what causes a game to be postponed, and the way he explained it is, it's not a number. It has more to do with the circumstances of
where they got it.
Where they got
Tracy.
He said it could be two guys who got it from two different places, and have come into the campus and are spreading it around, or it could be something which would be a big bad deal, mm-hmm. or it could be, you know, two guys that room together, they really haven't been around anybody else, and they can isolate them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, somebody said, is it 20 guys? Is it 10 guys? And the doctor said, it's not a number.
Circumstances.
But even now, they're still trying to figure out under what circumstances they would postpone a game, and they don't have that answer yet.
Right. Well, you know, going into today, we thought that the season would start September 19th, didn't you? I mean, that's kind of what's
been... That's what we've been told, September 19th.
So they needed another week, obviously.
Right.
You were talking about a columnist, a West Coast columnist, who kind of said he got from this today that they aren't...
That they're expecting the worst.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I didn't get that.
You have to provide every precaution, and even Scott said A, B, C, D, and
right.
E options.
And he used the word cautiously optimistic. Here's what he said about what Larry Scott said about where he is in terms of his...
We are cautiously optimistic sitting here today, but as Dr. Aukerman mentioned, and we've tried to reinforce, there are elements outside our control that are going to have a lot of influence on that question. What's happening in our communities? What's happening in our campuses? A lot of that's got to do with, right, mask wearing, social distancing, other things. What happens when thousands of students come back to our campus? None of us have the answer to that question.
So that's really it. So, you know, there's a lot behind that in terms of people's behavior. And, you know, we can talk about the Miami Marlins, but
we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
We'll talk about that later. I want to talk about football, and we're going to have Anthony Jimeno coming on. And
he should be calling any second now. So let's take our break. Maybe by that time he comes on and we can talk about the schedule and what it all means. Is that cool?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone we have cohort Anthony Jamino of Lindy's Magazine. How are you, Anthony?
Doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Fine, thank you. Did you have a chance to at least hear some of the webinar from the Pac-12? I know you were anxiously awaiting.
Sure. Well, we know you have a real job too, so.
Right. I managed to slip away while not actually watching the webinar. Following along as we do these days on that tweet machine. So,
What was your?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff.
What's your big takeaway?
I don't like Arizona State on September 26th, but bring it on.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Well, you may not get it.
It doesn't matter if I like it. I just want it now. I got to have it.
Well, and that's how I walked away from it. I'm like, we have a schedule. Let's go. Let's go.
Right. It's what somebody was like 57 days away or something like that. Arizona ASU.
I can't believe I haven't counted the days already.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for that. So who has the advantage in that? Who has the advantage in that first game?
Well, talent-wise, Arizona State, and probably just continuity-wise, Arizona State. Arizona is certainly, especially on the defensive side of the ball, breaking in new coaches and a lot of new pieces and new schemes and all that. So Arizona State also has some new coordinators and such, but a little more stability, I think. And again, more general talent. So. It probably favors Arizona State, but
so
I don't know if it was later in the season. Who knows by then, what the deal is. And this is, of course, assuming that everything's cool and this game does get to happen on September 26th.
But see, the Arizona Wildcat in me says ASU has no idea what Arizona is going to do defensively. They haven't had a spring practice. They haven't had anything for ASU to look at and say, this is what they might be doing.
Arizona doesn't either.
Well, Jay, that's why you're the optimist on this show. I think you should take that and run with it.
I am running with it. You'll see it in a minute.
Wait till the schedule.
You can see how many games I got him to win.
By the way, have you done that already? Have you already picked it?
I guess.
Okay.
It's got a lot tougher, right? Because they added Cal.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. We won't go there yet. Let's not go there. We'll go there on the second, after the next segment. But, if that was the first thought of the webinar, what was the second or third?
That the chances of, I love how the Pac-12 kind of announced it as a big grid of, all the teams and all the logos in announcing the schedule. And the odds of all of that happening are zero. because this is going to be it's college football. The teams are huge. You can't put them in a bubble like the NBA and the NHL. So I think what's going to happen, especially probably early in the season, it would be a lot like we're seeing with Major League Baseball, right?
Yep.
Where you play a few games and there's an outbreak over here with this team. And then the team they play, they've got a couple infections as well, and it trickles down to the rest of the schedule. So, and what we're seeing with Major League Baseball is a little bit of start and stop and trying to patch things together, trying to redo the schedule on the fly, all these kind of things. I would guess that's not only going to happen in the Pac-12, but all over the country in college football. I think they'll get started because they seem to have a pretty good plan, and as my phrase is kick the can down the road as far as they can, I think. And by pushing it back to September 26th, now you still got 2.5 weeks before you start camp. and is 2.5 weeks certainly is better than, say, a week or a week and a half even, because of some of the hotspot areas in Arizona and even in Pima County. The numbers are not great, but they're better than they were a couple weeks ago. So now you get yourself more time to get the numbers in a better place, be smart about how you practice and control things. And then, you know, by September, late September, you're ready to go, but expect things to flare up and to be flexible and to move games around and maybe even not play some games. And one of the reasons they built in that open week at the end of the schedule is, for example, say if things are still too COVID hot in Arizona to play Arizona State on September 26th, well, now you just move it back until whatever that week is, December
or even 11th. Mid-October.
Right. So, and that way, and that was, I get their reasoning, and the same thing they did with moving USC-UCLA to the first week as well, because that's your other Pac-12 area hotspot right now is LA. If those games, for whatever reason, can't go off, you're only affecting the other partner as opposed to maybe affecting two games instead of just one,
right?
Which makes it easier to reschedule later. So I get what they're thinking. I mean, it's a, whether people like this plan or don't like it, I got to give the Pac-12 some credit. It's a thoughtful plan.
So,
you know, they didn't throw this together haphazardly. So whether it works or not,
That's another story.
You know, we're all one day at a time.
Right.
Yeah, so yesterday we left the building here, and I had my guy Jay here shaking his head at me as we left, thinking that there's not going to be a football season after the third week. And he's like, shut up.
I wanted to fight him.
So I kind of agree with you, Anthony, that after the third week, I think that'll be kind of like the litmus test to get beyond the third week.
Yeah, it could be. I like that. Yeah, I'd feel better than probably the last time we talked that, you know, things are going to get started. But from there, be ready to be nimble and flexible and to adjust and to maybe, you know, kick. If you have to kick some of these games in the spring, maybe you do.
Did they talk about that a little?
Well, just in the context of if they absolutely had to, they still can. That all those scenarios are still in play is really what they said.
They have to be. Nobody is rubbing their hands together and smiling gleefully like, oh, we're going to play in the spring. It is the absolute worst case, last case scenario, which has a million problems. But it's still better than not playing.
Yeah. Well, there's.
Spring is not good, but if we absolutely have to get there, then we'll take it.
Well, we've heard something, I think we talked about this the other day, that, you know, I'm talking if before the season starts and it's looking like it's just not going to happen, you know, to play at all in the fall, that they might rather cancel the season than play it in the spring. I've heard a little bit of that. That's all I'm saying.
Just because
of the mess it would create, TV wise, fan wise, staffing wise,
along those
all
lines,
that kind of stuff.
Along those lines, there was a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the worst part about playing in the spring is what it does in terms of the players.
Well, and there's all that. How many players are you going to lose?
They'll figure out the TV. They'll figure out the schedule and all that. But if you're missing your top 250 players,
right?
Because they want to prepare for the combine and the draft and don't want to risk injury. Well, that's going to be the issue.
Right. Right.
Let's take a quick break. Thanks, Anthony. We'll come back and talk more about today's developments on the Pac-12 schedule here on
Don't Go Away, Anthony.
I'll be here.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/best. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
It's no Lowe's guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone we have Anthony Jamino talking Pac-12, football. I'm wishing for hoops, but that'll be in January.
We could.
We could actually. which will be better. No, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, Mr. Jay Gonzalez here is very excited because he's hoping that the football season is going to start. And you as well, I assume.
Yes. I tried watching some of the NBA last night, and I couldn't do it.
Wow.
I'm not an NBA fan, but I thought, hey, you know, there's not a lot else going on.
Right.
No, even Lakers Clippers. Nope. Sorry, you can't watch it. So, I mean, I don't care about the NBA. My Red Sox aren't very good, so baseball's dead to me. I don't care if the NFL plays or not, but I will miss my college football if it's not on.
Here's the thing.
I'm putting my eggs in that basket.
Yeah. Where I'm at is just that, you know, let's have some football. I'm ready for the NFL. You know, the NFL season will start the second weekend in September, allegedly. And then, you know, college. And I just like the fact that the college picture is kind of coming into focus. We're starting, you know, I mean, the Pac-12 is the only one that's actually announced its entire schedule. But everybody's kind of said when they're going to start. The Big 12 is still kind of out there. But they're just going to have to do pretty much what everybody else is doing because they don't have any other Power 5 teams to play. So I just like the fact that it's kind of coming into focus, and I feel like it's going to start. It's going to start in mid to late September, and, you know, then it's go time, and then we just cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, that's all we can do at this point. The Big 12's out there. The Big 10, I don't think, has really released a timetable.
You're right. they've just said conference only.
I thought the SEC would kind of be the outlier in saying, you know what? We're going to play our 12 games. We're going to start on time because it just means more to us.
Right.
And, you know, they came out the other day and did kind of a very sensible thing. Again, a 10-game conference schedule. No out-of-conference things.
Starting late September?
Yeah, same date as the Pac-12 is going to start now. And, you know, the ACC kind of beat them to the punch by a day. And the ACC wasn't really ready to kind of announce a schedule, but they kind of went ahead and got ahead of the SEC and took a little bit of the high ground by saying, oh, we're going to play, hey, we're bringing in Notre Dame, we're going to play 10 conference games. Oh, and we're saving a spot for a non-conference game within our state, which would have preserved all those ACC-SEC games that we like, your Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State, Kentucky, Louisville, et cetera, Georgia Tech, and kind of made the SEC the bad guy and all that.
Well, they didn't want to look like the person standing on, I could see guy or girl standing on the corner waiting for their date to pick them up. They wanted to kind of let them know, you know, what if you guys want to play us, we'll play, you know, kind of thing.
Hey, let's get to the nitty gritty here. Before we lose you here, Anthony, let's go through the schedule because I have my wins and losses. Mr. Gonzalez has his wins and losses.
Okay.
Mr. Optimistic has his wins and losses.
I'll be honest. I just said I'm going to find four wins. Okay. That's right. What I did. I didn't look at the schedule and say, okay, one, two, three. I just said I'm going to try and find four wins because that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. So let's go through the game, first game.
Well, see, I looked at the first two games,
okay.
And I think Arizona's going to split those two games. I think they're going to beat ASU or they're going to beat Washington.
Okay,
they're doing well if they come up with a split there.
Right, and my thinking is
top 25 potential teams.
Right, if they come out of the box and lose to ASU, I feel like they're going to be so PO'd about that that they might go up to Washington and shocked the world.
Yeah, Anthony, what do you have? 0-2 or 1-1? What do you have?
Yeah, I'll go 0-2 in that start.
0-2?
Yeah.
Me too. I'm with you.
Okay. Fine, you guys. Okay. Fine. Okay.
Colorado, you got that win. That's a win.
They're going to beat Colorado.
Okay, they'll Colorado at home.
Anthony?
I'll give you a win there.
Okay.
They play Colorado. They always play Colorado well, and it's here in front of zero fans.
it could be in front of zero fans or 5,000. What do you want?
Field advantage means anymore, but we'll give them a win.
Okay, so I agree with you. Mine's 1-2. You're 2-1 now, right? You're 2-1.
I'm 2-1.
Okay.
Okay.
We get the all important bye to recover,
and then they'll lose the next two. They got USC and Utah.
The bye will be a push, Anthony says.
Come on, Anthony. I want to call you a really bad name right now.
Arizona is favored by 3.
I would say they're losing to SC and losing to Utah.
I'm in agreement with that.
You,
I'm not out of my mind.
So we're Anthony and I are 1-4.
You're 1-4, okay. And I'm.
Right. You know what's interesting, and this is a little off topic, but I can't take credit for it. But I saw somebody else refer to on Twitter. How much, and now if you want to be a conspiracy theorist and talk about how the Pac-12 is setting up USC for success, in each of USC's 5 home games, their opponent will be playing the second game of consecutive road games.
Wow.
Which is a really difficult thing to do in college football. You find that teams that play, in conference on consecutive weeks on the road tend to not do well in that second game.
Right.
And all of USC's home games involve a team playing on the second game of a 2-week road stretch.
Did you go figure that out yourself, or did somebody tell you that?
No, I saw somebody else on Twitter, but okay. I verified it. I checked it out.
Somebody else who has no life is what you is who you're listening to.
Was Javier doing this tweet?
you're listening to some guy in his grandma's basement, on his computer, in his boxer shorts with a bag of Cheetos. That's who you're listening to.
Yes, pretty much.
But the Pac-12 would never do something like that for Arizona, right?
That's kind of, you went off topic.
So get your letters ready to send to Larry Scott.
Okay.
So you're 2, what are you now?
I'm 2-3.
And we're 1-4.
Okay. So now you got Oregon State come after that. But what I've done is packaged Oregon State, UCLA, and Stanford, and have said that Arizona's going to win one of those games.
Okay.
They're all on the road.
I totally agree with you.
I totally agree.
They're going to win one of those.
They'll win one of those somehow.
Yes. Right. Okay. All on the road. So to think that they're going to win 2 out of 3 is not a good.
Agreed.
It's not smart.
Agreed.
Okay. So I think they're going to win one of those. So that's my third win.
Okay. Okay.
Here's the one you're going to yell at me about.
Leaving Cal and Oregon at home.
Right. And here's where I'm picking Cal as the game they're going to win that you don't expect them to win. Cal's got Oregon the week before, and then they got to come and play the Arizona. So I believe Arizona can win that game. It's here, and so that's my fourth win. And then they're going to get smashed by Oregon. That's on a Friday night.
Okay, so I have them going.
Oh, yeah.
I have them going two wins. Two wins, maybe a third, using your logic with the Oregon State game or UCLA game, possibly.
So you think they're going 2-8?
2-8.
We're gonna fight.
Yeah, I'm kind of 2-8. I'd buy 3. Would that be or over or under?
Okay, here's the key. Well, here's the key question for you, Anthony. That's going to determine whether you and I are going to fight. Does Arizona finish 5th or 6th in the league?
Okay, well, I think it's really probably between them and Colorado.
We've already had this discussion.
That's the discussion that I'm at. If you're going to tell me that Arizona's going to finish
now
behind Colorado, we're going to throw.
Though, right?
What?
They're going to go. Colorado's got a tough schedule.
Everybody's got
Oregon,
a tough schedule.
Utah? I guess. Isn't that what's great about a 10-game conference schedule?
I love the 10-game conference schedule. We were talking about this yesterday.
Colorado could finish strong, though. I'm still going 6th.
Again, off topic. I know the 10-game conference schedule is not conducive to getting a team in the playoff, But if every league did it.
But if everyone does it, yeah.
If every league did it, I think it makes for a more interesting college football season, mm-hmm. and you really crown a real national champion.
And you sell tickets.
And you sell a hell of a lot of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the best part about that whole plan is that the most important person is on board with that. And by that, I'm talking about Nick Saban.
Right.
Saban's been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
And I know everybody kind of, you know, they'll denigrate Alabama's schedule because they always play like the Citadel in, right before they play Auburn.
Right.
Like all the SEC
teams. All the SEC teams do that.
But they've always gone out and played a tough opener. And really, what before this whole COVID thing, you know, one of the really positive trends in college football was the resumption of great home-and-home series. There was, for the last decade or so, there's always been this trend of playing these neutral site games. But and Alabama led that trend. I mean, you look at their schedule for the next 14, 16 years, and they're playing every, you know, every year is filled with a major, gotta watch home-and-home series.
Yeah.
And so they've really led the charge with that, and that may be one of the positive things that comes out of all of this revamped scheduling is people may like this. They may like the extra conference game, and it may also hasten the split in college football between the haves and the have-nots, and where the Power Five really becomes its own autonomous group.
The only problem with this is nobody gets to see it in person. Well, maybe not.
Well, eventually.
Yeah, very.
Well, this year. We don't know.
This year we won't, but eventually we will.
No, it'd be cool. I think it's for
I really do hope again. And, you know, we've been talking about how this can reset a lot of things. I hope this is one of the resets that you know, people really embrace playing more teams in their conference. I really want to see that. I want to see the SEC do that. And, you know, I mean, the Big 12, you know, okay, go get two more teams so you can play 10 conference games as well.
Along those lines, Anthony, we talked about this maybe Wednesday. You said maybe Stuart Mandel, but at least a national writer had talked about maybe regionalizing conferences and going that route because of expenses and things like that. Do you see that happening?
I think that's definitely one of the things that could come out. Not necessarily among the Power Five as we see them now, but you look at a conference like the American Athletic Conference, you know, they go from Philly to Houston. You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when you're talking about travel across all the sports. You know, you're sending whoever, gymnastics, volleyball, golf, whatever it is. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think some of the quote mid-majors could probably be realigned to make more sense geographically than they are now. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of movement in the major conferences, but like Jay said, maybe the Big 12 needs to go out and grab one or two more. Maybe Notre Dame. They're not going to join the ACC in football. They're going to stay independent.
But, you think so?
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably. We'll see. I think we'll see how they like it. You know,
you're right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. Maybe they'll end up liking it more than they think.
You know, playing for there's something to be said for playing for a conference championship.
It's all about the money.
Well, but there's something to be said for playing for a conference championship, and you know, athletes today again are different from athletes 20 years ago. And that might be meaningful to those guys. You know, this year, they say, that was cool. Let's keep doing that. Yeah. Now, whether or not the administration would listen to them.
Yeah. Right. If Notre Dame ends up beating Clemson for the ACC title, ACC is not going to invite Notre Dame.
True. No, that's very true. Thanks, but no thanks. Right.
You big weenies.
Hey, with that, I think we'll end this conversation. Hey, thanks for coming on.
So, did you guys both say you, Anthony? You're saying three wins?
No, it's possible.
Or are you like two and a half?
Two, but I'm like two and a half.
Okay,
I can see.
Wait, you never answered the question. Does Arizona finish ahead of Colorado?
No, I said six.
He hasn't changed. He said this 3 months ago.
Before when I said Arizona was going to finish in sixth place, that's when I still thought they had Tony Fields and Edgar Barola.
Very true.
Starters.
Very true.
my wife is going to call your wife, okay, to make your life miserable at home.
You're probably texting right now.
I'm telling you.
I have room, Anthony. Don't worry about it. Just come and stay with me. I got room. Yeah, but you have to bring your own bags. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Anthony, thanks a whole bunch. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
We'll talk again.
Good luck. We'll talk. We'll come back on the other side here on 1030 The Voice.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I have been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. That was fun, insightful. The good thing that I found out is you are the optimistic one. That was verified. I think we'll talk more about this. We have Mark Harlan on the show next
Tuesday. Right, Mark Harlan, the athletic director at Utah and a former Arizona guy. He grew up in the Arizona administration, was a fundraiser for the foundation, was a graduate assistant under Dick Tomey, and then he went to UCLA and then wound up at Utah. He's going to be joining us. He's a good friend, and we'll get a perspective from one of the other ADs in the league and just see. And now Mark's been part of the I think the committee that did all this stuff with the schedule and stuff, mm-hmm. So it'll be good to get his perspective. So he's going to come on Tuesday.
Tuesday's show should be good. We have Joseph Blair joining him after that.
Right.
So it's a good show. Real quick, because we're in the middle of this pandemic, and people are still being stupid. I don't know what a better word. Because they're not paying attention, and the Miami Marlins are in the thick of it.
And they're supposed to be grown-ups. Right, they're supposed to be grown-ups making money, but it turns out that the MLB investigated how all these guys got COVID, and it turns out that when they went to Atlanta for their series with Atlanta, they were everywhere.
What's up with Atlanta? We got chicken wings, and we got people going out.
Well, apparently Atlanta. I've never been there, so I can honestly say I don't know this for sure. But apparently Atlanta is like a really big place for strip clubs and stuff like that. Yeah. So, but the Marlins just went out and apparently did what they weren't supposed to be doing.
Right.
And there's two ways of looking at it. One, idiots, mm-hmm. right? You're just dumb and you're putting everything at stake, not just for yourself, but for a lot of other people. But the flip side of that, and where you try and get a silver lining and stuff like that, is that now every coach in America that's got a team that's going can say, that's what you're not supposed to
don't
do.
Don't be them.
And if you do that, that's what happens. There's an example.
Right, right. Well, right now, the commissioner, Manfred, said that he's ready to pull the plug.
Yeah, he's going to pull the plug on the whole thing if they don't start doing better.
I guess the TV people have already saying, let's get some programming ready just in case this happens.
There's like 8 or 10 games canceled today because of this. And so, it's like,
so you're up to, now let's go back, Your Honor. You're optimistic that the college game will survive this?
Well, here's why. It's because there's still a lot of this has to go on
to get examples
before the players come on campus, before practices start, mm-hmm. before games start. There's a lot that can be learned about what's going on. And people have to believe that these things are going to happen and be ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, once again, you know,
to your point, you're the Atlanta, you're the Miami Marlins. 17 guys, 15 guys get positive. Wouldn't you, if you're the other 15 that did not, and you're saying, "What the hell are
I'm
you guys
punching them in the face?
What the hell are you
doing? You're putting my livelihood at stake because you were an idiot and you had to go hang out at a bar or wherever it was you went. We're all supposed to be doing this together, and we're not. I mean that tells me that there's a bigger issue going on in the Marlins organization that these guys just don't give.
No,
they don't care about this.
A rat's something.
I came close. I almost.
I don't know if you could say the other word.
I almost pushed the button right there.
We're still rookies.
But that there's something going on with the Marlins that says these guys don't care enough.
Who's the president?
To do the right
Who's
thing.
Who's the president? Derek Jeter.
Yeah, Derek Jeter. Don Mattingly, who I love, is the manager. Former Dodger, good guy.
But you said eight games were canceled. A lot of the other ones are trickling down, too.
They're trickled down from the Marlins. There's only one that isn't. The Cardinals, a couple of guys got on the Cardinals got it. And so their game with, I can't remember who, got postponed. But all the other games that are canceled are tied to the Marlins. So, you know, guys, we just, again, you know, we just have to be smart. And you know, the students are going to be coming on campus by the time the teams start practicing and stuff like that. You know, the football players and all the athletes, they've got to stay away from the frat parties and the bars and the apartment parties and stuff that, I get it. They're all a part of college life and you want to do the things that you normally do in college. But if you go do those things, you're not going to be playing football.
What do you give those chances of happening? What do you say? Don't.
Somebody going to step out and do something stupid? Absolutely.
Yes,
and Larry Scott on the press conference today, he said, we expect something to happen.
Right.
We're planning for something to happen. To sit here and think nothing's going to happen is ridiculous.
It's naive, yeah.
It's very naive to think that. So something's going to happen. The question is, how much of it is going to, you know, are we going to see?
Mm-hmm.
And how much are players, students, everybody going to try and just do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Just do the right thing. We'll see what happens. We have about, school starts in a month, less
school
than a month.
School starts on the 24th.
24th.
You know, and they're going to be bringing students on campus. I know my daughter's looking at her schedule and trying to decide if she's going to, you know, she's got a, I think one or two classes that as of now are in-person classes, you know, or at least partially in-person, you know, the hybrid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she's kind of going through a decision process. Am I going to go to those classes? Are those classes worth it to me? You know, questioning, do I want to be on campus? Maybe I do want to be on campus just to get a little bit of the life, you know, because she's been stuck at home with us since March.
That's no college life.
That's not college life.
No, isn't it sad? Because the college life is all about that.
Yeah.
Leaving the house, going to grow up, and going to school, of course, but part of it's growing up and making your own mistakes.
I don't think she's driven her car all week. I think I need to go start it to make sure the battery's not dead.
Lucky you, you're making great gas mileage. Great gas mileage.
But, you know, everybody's got to do their part, and that's the doctor on the call today specifically said that. He said, we don't know if they're going to do their part, but people have to do their part.
Right. If this wants to happen, we got to make it happen.
Right.
Yeah. Good show today.
It's a fun show.
Oh, you
fun
must
show.
Be excited.
I'm sticking with four wins.
Optimistic weekend this weekend.
I'm going golfing tomorrow, trying to beat my kid again.
We have optimism, hope. Thanks, everybody, here on 1030 The Voice. Talk to you guys next week.
Have a great weekend.